Hello and welcome to another Film 102.8. Yes, that's right. It's me, Steve Lanham, unfortunately here on my own because Jeff is away this week. But don't worry, because I've got an action-packed show for you. Yes, this week it's an anti-blockbuster special. So this week I'll be telling you about the new film, The Disappearance of Alice Creed, as well as an Israeli film called Lebanon. As well as that, we've got all your favourite features. Including your film news and your chance to win your very own copy of the latest DVD release, Daybreakers. But most importantly of all is, as always with this show, it's all about the music. Kinks, and you really got me from the film American Dreams. And a bit of Kinks news, there's a film coming up to be directed by Julian Temple, who directed The Filth and the Fury, the Sex Pistols film, and he's on board to direct a film of the Kinks' life, which is going to focus on the relationship between the guitarist Ray Davis and the lead singer brother Dave Davis, and it's going to be called You Really Got Me. So it's not really surprising that they're making films like this after the success of things like Nowhere Boy and Walk the Line. It's kind of a rich vein of films that they'll probably look to exploit in the future. But back to this week, and as I mentioned earlier, I went to see The Disappearance of Alice Creed. Now, as I said, this is a bit of an anti-blockbuster special because although there's a lot of big films coming out over the next few weeks, this week there hasn't really been anything massive coming out, so I've had to look around and try and find something which maybe you wouldn't see unless it was kind of pointed in your direction. So this is a thriller written and directed by Jay Blakeson, and it stars Martin Compston and Eddie Marsden, who a lot of people will probably know as Inspector Lestrade from the Guy Ritchie Sherlock Holmes films, and they play two kidnappers who target a young girl for reasons which we're not really too sure of at the start of the film, but kind of unravel as you get further into it. And the film begins with a 10-minute section where we see the kidnappers shopping for hardware in what looks like places like B&Q, and we're not really too sure what they're doing, but it's quite obvious that is something a little bit sinister. And what's interesting about this opening 10-minute sequence is there's no dialogue. The two characters are just focused, go around buying all these things, and then you see them, once they've got them all together, begin to construct a soundproof room in a flat, and they put together a bed and they put kind of ropes and things like that. So we work out from that something not very nice is going to take place. And once this has all been completed, they head out and they kidnap a girl who, it turns out, is played by Gemma Arterton, who a lot of people will know from Quantum of Solace. She played Strawberry Fields, and she's also in the new Prince of Persia film, which is out at the moment. So this is a real different direction for her. She's kind of gone from big budget films to playing this quite really, really small indie film. And yes, in all the other films, she's quite glamorous and dressed up. And in this, she's been kidnapped and she's basically just been degraded, kind of tied to this bed. They've gagged her, and it's slightly worrying. You don't know where's this film going. It's a little bit unnerving. But as the film progresses a bit more, it becomes clear that things aren't quite as they seem, and maybe there's more to it than perhaps is being led on. What I'll do is I'll play another song and then I'll talk about it more after that. Black Betty by Ram Jam from the film Blow. Now, what we're talking about this week is The Disappearance of Alice Creed, the new film starring Eddie Marsden and Gemma Arterton. And just before that song, I was telling you that it's a film which is quite dark, and you don't know where it's going from the beginning. It seems slightly worrying, but you want to find out more. And the most interesting thing about this film is the fact that there's only three characters throughout the whole duration of the film. So from beginning to end, the only people you see are the two kidnappers and the kidnappee. Now, that sounds like it could be quite boring, it might be quite difficult to keep the audience interested, but it's something that's been done before. There's a film recently called 44 Inch Chess, which starred Ray Winston, and that had just the same five or six characters in it throughout. And this is very much the same, and the action doesn't really leave the padded room much. There's a little bit at the beginning and a little bit at the end, but other than that, the majority of the film is spent within this cell they've created to house the kidnappy. And what's interesting is the relationship between the three characters. We know that the two kidnappers are kind of an old guy played by Eddie Marsden and a younger guy played by Martin Compson. And we don't know to start off with why they're together and what they're doing it for. But as we get further and further into the film, it becomes obvious that they're friends and they've been planning this for a long time. Eddie Marsden's a former criminal and he's been waiting till he got out. He's been planning the whole time he's been in prison this one kidnapping where he can make enough money for them just to run away and kind of live somewhere in Brazil or something like that and live off what they've managed to gain. But it's difficult to talk about this film without giving too many twists away, because there is several twists in it and I don't want to ruin it by talking about it. And even I watched the trailer having seen the film, and I found that I'm glad that I didn't see it before I saw the film, because a lot of the things which I didn't see coming were kind of given away in the trailer. So I would definitely recommend just going to see the film on its own without having seen the trailer beforehand, because I really didn't see the stuff coming in it. And really, I think that this summer there'll be lots of blockbusters around, like The A-Team and Robin Hood and things like that, which will cost probably 100 times as much as this film did, but would be nowhere near as disturbing, thrilling and enjoyable as this. And it seems strange to say it's enjoyable, especially having watched the first 10 minutes of it, but as the film does get further into it, you realise that there is more to it, and it is actually quite funny in place as well. It's a bit of an odd couple relationship between Eddie Marsden and Martin Compson, and in the end it all ends up going a little bit wrong for a few of them anyway. And at the key point of the film, there's a really, really nice song which plays out, and I'm going to play it to you now. It's by Kathy Davey and it's called Holy Moly. The Gorillaz and Feel Good Incorporated from the film Cloverfield. Now, Cloverfield was produced by J.J. Abrams, who of course directed Star Trek, and there's a new trailer out for his latest film, Super 8, which we're probably trying to stick up on our Twitter site, and it's written and directed by J.J. Abrams. It's produced by Steven Spielberg, and it's about a creature coming down from space, and I think in the trailer it causes a derailment of a train or something like that, but I think it's supposed to be a modern update of the Close Encounters of the Third Kind type thing, hence why Spielberg's involved. But it's worth checking out. We're trying to stick it on our Twitter, as I said. But this week, as well as seeing The Disappearance of Alice Creed, I also went to see another film which I'm guessing a lot of people won't see and probably wouldn't think of seeing, really, and it's called Lebanon, and it's an Israeli film, and it's set entirely inside an Israeli tank during the 1982 invasion of the Lebanon, which already I guess a lot of people are thinking, I'm not sure this is the sort of thing that I would normally watch. But once you get past that, I mean, I've seen other films, Israeli films, and from that period, including Waltz with Bashir, which is a brilliant film which came out last year, which was kind of an animated rotoscope type thing, which is where they film something and then they draw over the top of it. And that was about the Lebanese war as well. So I kind of got a little bit of background in it. And there seems to be a lot of films coming out from that period of time sort of thing. And the film centres on four soldiers who are inside the tank as it goes deep into enemy territory. And in the same way as The Hurt Locker, it's as much about the four characters' personalities inside the tank as it is what's going on outside of the tank. So while you see all the kind of horrible things to do with war, you also get to see the effects it has on these people who are essentially cooped up 24 hours a day for long periods of time. And that's the thing which strikes you most about it, is just how claustrophobic the atmosphere is inside the tank. I mean, I've obviously got no experience of what a tank's like, and hopefully I never will, but it's hot and noisy and sweaty. And the most interesting thing is that throughout the film, you see a lot of the floor, which seems to be inside a sort of an inch of water, seems to permanently be on the floor and running down the walls and things like that. It's just generally quite a horrible place to be. And where this film is successful is it really makes you feel like you're inside the tank with them. And you end up feeling not only kind of empathetic towards them, but wondering how they can put up with it. And at times there's people are killed and the bodies are just put into the tank. And this is the thing with the film, although you're inside the tank, which may not sound like that much of an outrageous thing to start with, the only time you leave the tank in the whole film is at the beginning you see a sunflower field, and at the end you see the same sunflower field. And other than that, it's the whole entire film is spent inside of the tank, with only the crosshairs is what you see out of the outside world. So you see what the gunner sees of the outside world. And the thing with this film is it's very much an anti-war film, because it's a lot to do with how these people are pushed into doing things they don't want to do, and how they just can't blindly follow the orders. And the real success of it is that it's so claustrophobic, and you really kind of feel like it depicts quite well what war would be like. Obviously, it's not possible to be perfect sort of thing, but in the same way as the Hurt Locker was incredibly tense, and you felt like you could understand in a way what these people are going through, having to dispose bombs and things like that, you get a real picture of what it's like in these really terrible conditions. And I think this really is as close as you can get to the horrors of tank warfare without joining the army, to be honest. And if you can get past the subtitles and the fact that it might not sound like the sort of thing that usually you'd be interested in, it really is worth checking out. It's been really, it's got some really good reviews. I think it's been nominated for a few awards and things like that. If you go to your local art house cinema or something like that, it's bound to be on at some point. And even if you haven't, check out things like Waltz with Bashir and also The Hurt Locker. And if you like those sorts of things and you think this is the sort of thing that I want to see, then check out Lebanon. I'm going to give it a solid 7 out of 10. CeeLo Green and What Part of Forever from the Twilight Eclipse soundtrack. You might know CeeLo Green was in Niles Barkley, of course, did a song Crazy. And Jeff and I have been kind of working our way through the Twilight soundtracks newly released. We've played the Muse song the first time around. That was the first time released, and to be honest, that was a bit awful. But since then, there's been some better songs. That seems pretty good. And before that, we had Bat for Lashes last week, I think. So we'll probably keep working our way through it until the big release date, which is the 9th of July. That's Twilight Eclipse, which is out. The interesting thing, this is the first installment of the Twilight series to be shown in IMAX. And it's also directed by David Slade, who directed Hard Candy and 30 Days a Night. So he's got kind of quite a gothic, dark background. So it'll be interesting to see where he goes with this installment of the Twilight series. We didn't mind the second one, actually. I think this is the sort of film a lot of people would expect people like me and Jeff not to enjoy, but we actually thought it was all right. A little bit too much moping for perhaps our enjoyment, but yeah, it was better than we thought it would be. Now, I've got another song to play in a sec, which needs a little bit of an introduction, because it might seem like a slightly strange choice to play. And it's by a band called Infant Sorrow, which some people might know as from the film Forgetting Sarah Marshall, and it's a band where the lead singer is Aldous Snow, and he's played by Russell Brand. And this is taken from the spin-off of that first film, and it's called Get Him to the Greek, and it focuses on Aldous Snow after he goes off the rails on drugs, basically. So Russell Brand plays this kind of drug-addled rock star, which must be a real push for him. And the music in it is written by people like Carl Barat of the Libertines, and Jarvis Cocker as well has contributed some of the songs. So there's a whole soundtrack of these original songs, which are supposed to be written by this made-up band called Infant Sorrow, and they're actually pretty good, so let's see what you think of it. The Pink Panther theme by Bobby McFerrin, a song which starts out and you think, oh, this is really, really good, and after about 30 seconds you quickly realise, actually, this is really, really annoying. But there it was in its entirety anyway. Yeah, that's taken from the 9th instalment of the Pink Panther franchise, which was from the early 90s, I think, and it starred let's see if I can remember his name, Roberto Benigni. That's it, I think it was Roberto Benigni, something like that. And yeah, so that's from the Pink Panther, which of course came back recently with Steve Martin as the Pink Panther, and still is pretty much not a lot of good. Well, I guess this is the only time we can have to do this, really. There should be some film news. I don't know why that's not working. There we go. Steve doesn't know how to work film news, bed. Cruise to become full-length Grossman. In a move apparently not connected to his diminutive height, Paramount has signed up Tom Cruise to resurrect his character Les Grossman from the Tropic Thunder film for a full-length adaptation. Produced by Ben Stiller, the film will tell the story of how the fat, aggressive Grossman became one of Hollywood's most successful producers. Cruise was delighted to be able to get the chance to play the character again, saying that it was nice to try something different and become someone who is an angry, disgusting human being who has bafflingly managed to become a huge success. Final Destination finds some direction. The newest instalment of the Final Destination franchise is to be directed by James Cameron's protege, Stephen Quayle. Bizarrely for a collection of film called The Final Destination, there appears to be no end to the long-running series, which finds novel ways of killing people in each film. The fifth film will be no different, with a little bit of the audience dying inside when they've realised they've wasted their money on this nonsense. More bullocks from Sandra and Ryan. Good news for Sandra Bullock and Ryan Reynolds fans as they are reunited for the forthcoming film Most Wanted. Having displayed all the on-screen chemistry of two pieces of not particularly interesting fruit, they are back as an odd couple in this action comedy. Sounds like it could be an award winner for again, although probably not an Oscar. Indiana Jones and the Case of the Broncos Pendulum. I'll say that again. Indiana Jones and the Case of the Bonkers Premise. Rumour has it that the newest instalment of the Indiana Jones story will focus on the mysterious Bermuda Triangle. Having survived the rather awful last indie film, Shia LaBeouf will be back with more archaeological escapades. According to LaBeouf, George Lucas and Steven Spielberg have been working on a script. Here's hoping they make a few trips to the Triangle before George unleashes another terrible Star Wars update on us. And that's your film news.
Always when we fight, I try to make you laugh. Till everything's forgotten, I know you hate that.
The Wanna Dies and You and Me song, taken from Baz Luhrmann's adaptation of Romeo and Juliet. You might notice from these from tonight, I've tried to give a little fact about every song that we've played. And my interesting fact about The Wanna Dies and Romeo and Juliet is Baz Luhrmann sent a 20-minute or the last 20 minutes of the Romeo and Juliet to the band Radiohead and wanted them to compose music for it, which they wrote exit music for a film which is on their album OK Computer, and which he said is the greatest bit of film music that was ever written. So that's an interesting little fact for you there about Romeo and Juliet. Now, as I've been saying throughout the whole film, throughout the whole show, we've got a chance for you to win more prizes as we do almost every week, and this week it's an opportunity for you to win a copy of the DVD of Daybreakers, which is a new film that's come out starring Willem Dafoe and Ethan Hawke, and it's about vampires who are They've taken over the world, and the only way to survive is by farming human blood. Essentially, there's only a few humans left, and they're running out of blood. So the film focuses on that, and it's supposed to be an all right film. Me and Jeff haven't seen it, but maybe we'll watch the DVD before we send it out. I don't know. Depends how we feel, and we might give a review later on. Who knows? But what we want you to do is answer the question: what is the title of the Lars von Trier film that Willem Dafoe starred in last year? So that's what is the title of the Lars von Trier film that Willem Dafoe starred in last year? If you know the answer, then send us an email at film@thebayradio.com or send us a direct message on Twitter, which is at film1028. Of course, we've also got a fan page, which is on Facebook. You just type in film102.8 and click like. And yeah, if you know the answer, then send it to direct message or email to at film1028 or film@thebayradio.com. And the question was, what is the title of the Lars von Trier film that Willem Dafoe starred in last year? I'll just do a quick run through of the top 10, since we've seen a lot of films that are in the top 10. 10. At number 10 is Space Chimps 2, Zartok Strikes Back, which Lucas was here last week and reviewed, and it seemed to get quite a favourable review from him. He said it was funny and better than the first one, so if you've got kids, it might be worth checking that out. At number 9 is probably mine and Jess' favourite film we've seen for a while, Iron Man 2, starring, of course, Don Cheadle, who's got a new film out this week, and Robert Downey Jr. is great again. Number 8, She's Out of My League, a new film we haven't seen. At 7, 4321, which we haven't seen either. At 6, though, Tooth Fairy, another film which Lucas reviewed last week, and it's got a very favourable review. He had the wings on, and he said it was better than Space Chimps 2, I think, so it's another one that's worth checking out. Number 4 is the remake of Death at a Funeral, which is a new release we haven't seen. 3, Prince of Persia, which Jeff didn't like. At 2, Street Dance 3D, which neither of us had seen and neither of us really want to see. And at number 1 is Sex and the City 2, which, if you go back and listen to our podcast, you can hear Jeff and I slowly dying inside reviewing it last week and having to sit through the full 2 hours and 20 minutes of pure horrible consumerist nonsense, basically. But that is number 1 in the chart at the moment, and I'm guessing if you like Sex and the City, you'll probably enjoy it. I mean, there obviously are a lot of people out there who are enjoying it, because it's at number 1 and it's taken nearly £2.5 million in its first weekend, so they must be doing something right. But that's pretty much the end of the show this week, unfortunately. I'm back next week with hopefully Jeff alongside me. There's a new film out this week called Greenberg, starring Ben Stiller, which I'm quite looking forward to seeing. And we might try and see a few other things. Like I said, there's not a lot of blockbusters kind of around at the moment. We're building up to the main season with things like Toy Story and The A-Team and all those types of things. But yeah, we're getting there. It's just going to be a little while, really. We got Greenberg, and we'll try and find something else. I don't know. And it'd be, hopefully next week, it'd just be less waffle and more of me and Jeff. So you've been listening to Film 102.8 on thebayradio.com. Come back this time next week and listen to us some more. Cheers.